Welcome back to Matt Flynn Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'm going to hit briefly the ranked choice voting raised by Dana Madison, and I'm going to pitch a question to Sam. But with the ranked choice voting, here's the deal. Here's my view on it. I'm not strongly inclined to back it for the reasons I'm going to give you, but I think it has marginal utility in several extreme cases. So if somebody pressed it and it passed, I certainly wouldn't oppose it, but it's not the panacea everybody thinks. Here's why I say that. In the New York, ranked choice voting largely is useful in nonpartisan primaries where there are more than two people, or in general elections where there's a Democrat, a Republican, say a Green and a Libertarian. So they're third party candidates, not so much ranking them between Democrat and Republican. In New York, in the mayoral race, Adams in the first go around clearly won by a lot. And then they did ranked choice voting. What does that mean? You go into the polls and it can be 1-3, 1-5. You go, all right, my first choice is, say, Eric Adams. My second choice is Garcia. That was somebody who was running. My third choice is so on. So what you do is they take a look at the top two, then they reallocate all of the other votes. And let's say there were 17 votes, like with the Republican primary in 2016. You had Jeb Bush running and Ted Cruz and Trump and this one, that one. You would say, okay, I'm going to vote for Trump, say you're Republican, and my second choice is Cruz, and my third choice is Jeb Bush. But what happens is they have a computer that instantaneously, clearly whoever came in 17th isn't going anywhere, so they reallocate their votes. Then the 16th, 15th, 14th, and they get down to three, then they reallocate. And in almost all cases, the result is not close enough for that to make a difference. In almost all cases. There are two cases where it would have made a difference in a general election that was partisan. And that's the 2000 election between Gore and Bush. And it's also in the election between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump in Wisconsin. What do I mean by that? Gore beat Bush nationally by 500,000 votes. And the Supreme Court, the Republican Supreme Court, stopped the counting of the votes when it seemed that Bush had beaten Gore by 500 some odd votes. It turned out when they did the audit afterwards, Gore had also won Florida and should have been the president, was the president. But it was stolen in a sense by the Republicans. But in those days, you didn't contest that kind of thing. Now, Trump is trying to contest a loss where he lost by 7 million votes. And Biden got about 306 electoral votes and only needed 270. By 36 electoral votes, he wins. And these idiots are trying to overturn it. In other words, they're taking that argument and trying to apply it to any election to avoid the peaceful transfer of power. But how would it have affected the two that I just described? Well, there was a Green candidate back in 2000. If there had been ranked choice voting, they would have reallocated that. Now, I'm going to tell you something that will shock you. They did polling among the Green candidates, and many of them said they would have voted for Bush otherwise. Many of them would have put Bush second because they were trying to attack the Democratic Party for being too moderate. So you never know. But my instinct is that, especially in Florida, if they had ranked choice voting, the Greens would have gone with a majority of the between the two to Gore, and he would have won. So that did make a difference, would have. Now, the second one was Hillary Clinton. There was a woman named Jill Stein, a Green, who ran against her and against Trump. And in Wisconsin, Hillary lost by 27,000 votes, something like that, 23,000. If the Green votes had been reallocated in ranked choice voting, you'd think that the majority of the Greens would have gone to Hillary. Would it have been 27,000 of them? I don't know. The other thing to keep in mind is that even if Hillary had won Wisconsin, she still would not have won the electoral votes. And in Pennsylvania and in some of the other states, there wasn't the gap was too wide. Now, in Michigan, Hillary only lost by 10,000 votes. So Jill Stein hurt her in Michigan as well. If she had overturned Michigan and if she had overturned Wisconsin through ranked choice voting, I'd have to do the arithmetic. It'd be pretty close. It's possible she would have won, but it's also possible she would have lost. So I think that in general, ranked choice voting, having people go in and vote their first, second, and third preferences is theoretically a good idea, and in an extreme case can make a difference. As a practical matter, it doesn't make any difference, and a lot of people will go in and say, the heck with it, they're just going to put their first choice. You know, they're all lathered up and enthusiastic. It tends to be insiders and people that know issues that talk about this issue. So the bottom line, I'm very passionate on virtually every issue, and this particular one, I think there's a good reason for it, and I think that in an extreme case, it can make a difference. I think that in 99% of elections, it makes no difference at all. So yes, I would support it, but I do not think that it is at the top of my issue list. Dan, thanks for calling in. An excellent question. I want to pitch this to Sam. Sam, I'd like to talk about some Wisconsin issues. Give me a headline, Sam, that caught your eye. I'd like to talk about it.
Well, thanks for asking, Matt. I would thought the article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that was published yesterday, it was kind of breaking news. The Milwaukee Common Council elected District 12 Alderman Jose Perez to serve as Common Council president. And not only that, he was also the first Latino to hold this position, which is kind of exciting news considering Cavalier Johnson is also the first African-American mayor. So some diversification happening in Milwaukee.
Yeah, well, thanks. Let me comment on that. I do know Jose Perez, good man, solid guy, could be a great council president. I'm very glad to see, because that council has been divided before. When Cavalier Johnson ran, there were 15 aldermen in Milwaukee, and he won 8-7. And there were pretty clearly delineated lines on the common council among the aldermen. In this one, because he'd been sworn in as mayor, I don't think he voted, so there were probably 14 votes. So somehow everybody got together. Jose Perez is a very good guy. I myself believe that the Democratic Party has gotten too far into identity politics, and it's hurting us around the country. And so I don't look at it entirely about Jose Perez's ethnicity. I look on it as Jose Perez. I do know the guy, good, solid guy. You know, you need a strong president of the Common Council in Milwaukee. The president of the Common Council by law becomes the mayor automatically, acting mayor, if the mayor vacates the position. And in this particular case, I think Cavalier Johnson is young and healthy and he isn't going anywhere. But, you know, you always have that contingency. The second thing is the president of the Common Council can set the agenda. He appoints all committees. I think Jose Perez is going to be smart and do a good job appointing people to the Finance Committee, especially, and to committees on, you know, liquor licenses and that kind of thing, where you have good, honest people who are going to take a good hard look and see what's good for the city itself. So here's a shout out to Perez. I think I know his district. I know people in his district. I know the people who support him, and solid choice. So, and as you say, the first individual, Latino individual as president of the Common Council of Milwaukee. And I think to me anyway, that's not the issue. The issue is Jose Perez, and he has plenty of ability. He would have been picked under any circumstance. We're going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.